This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. 2-1. Line to right field as a base hit toward the line. Gardner will run it into a double as Betts fields near the line. Swung on and ripped to deep left center field. Benintendi going back, away back in left center. It is off the left center field bullpen wall. Gardner has scored. Maven to second with a double. Swung on and line, base hit, right center field. Maven rounds third, he scores. And the Yankees have scored four in the inning. They have a 5-0 lead. Pitch is line. There's a base hit over third. Down the left field line. Rolling to the left field corner. Extra bases. It's another double, another extra base hit.
Darwin's and Hernandez is up in the Red Sox ball.
Ground ball in the hole. That's a base hit to right field. Ford scores. Higashioka scores. And the Yankees have scored six in the inning, and they have a 7-0 lead. I mean, you look at the lineups. Who would have thunk it? All the young guys from Scranton are hitting.
You know what's amazing? They just had a shot of the Red Sox dugout, and the look on Alex Cora and Dana Lavangie, the pitching coach's face. And what are you supposed to do? Sale gets hammered. Price gets hammered. Porcello gets hammered. What are you supposed to do?
You know what you're supposed to do, Susan? Get hammered. That's what you do. Crack open a couple and blast yourself into oblivion. Get hammered. That's what Alex Cora and Dana Lavangie should do. 617-779-0985 here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll open up the phone lines right away because there's a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about with this Red Sox team. Overpaid, underachieving, it doesn't even begin to do it justice with this club. It doesn't even begin to do it justice. And so, look, I don't know if I'm going to rant and rave. I did a lot of that today. But the bottom line is this. With any team, any year, and I feel like I'd give this speech every year in different capacities. With any team, any year, you ask them to do one thing, max out. Max out. And on a year-to-year basis, that can be a different thing. Last year, the Red Sox actually went beyond it. Like what I thought their ceiling was, a world championship, they even went one better. They had the best season in the history of the club. This year, entering the year, you know what I thought maxing out or pretty close to it would be? A realistic maxing out? Getting into the playoffs, making some noise, get back to the LCS. And then whatever happens, happens. That you can live with. This team, this year, you know what they did really? They never wanted to show up and fight for their championship. They never wanted to show up and defend it. Once they won it, that was it. That was it. They started the season with their heads up their asses. They were running uphill from the start. They got to their most important stretch of the year and began it by going 5-1. Then they lost a couple going in the trading deadline. Ownership management did nothing. They basically pointed the finger at the clubhouse. And you know what the 2019 Red Sox did? They imploded. They caved. They showed no competitiveness, no grit, no balls, no heart, none of the above. And now they are folding up. They want to go home. They want to go home because you know what? At the end of the day, they never really wanted to show up in the first place.
Yeah, they wanted to continue to bask in the glow of the championship season last year and not let it go. It was apparent from day one.
They felt like they had done all that they needed to do, and they didn't owe you anything anymore. And so there you go. 7 out in the loss column in the wild card race. In the wild card race, there's 7 games out. In the division, do you really want to know? 16 out in the loss column. 16 effing games on August 5th. You've still got 2 months to go. They're going to lose the division by more than 20. And David Price, Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, you heard Susan Waldman of FAN, WFAN in New York, mention them at the end there because they were the culprits this weekend. That's your $60 million starting rotation. $60 million, the core of your starting rotation. Those are the guys. 32 pitchers in the American League that qualify for the RA title. Porcello ranks 31st. Sale ranks 24th. Price doesn't qualify because he doesn't have enough innings. But he's going to be right there on the bottom with the other two, with the way he's going. Since he popped about Dennis Eckersley, 0-4 with an ERA over 10. 10! They all go out there and they get their asses kicked. Murray made this observation earlier, and then I promise we'll get to your calls. I want to start with Price. By the time they get to last night, I sort of felt like the damage had been done. But why is it that when the Red Sox are about to sweep a team, the team bounces back and wins the finale? When the Red Sox are about to be swept, Price goes out there and gets his ass kicked. Again, Jim Murray made this observation. Listen to the crack of the bat on ESPN. This will give you an idea of what it's like to be in the ballpark, because Murray found this out. Apparently, ESPN places its microphones differently on the Sunday night broadcast and a lot of other networks too, so the crack of the bat sounds louder. That said, David Price, with two outs in what was a close game, to that point was a 1-0 game, two outs, six hits in a row, and it sounded like this.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is crushed. 3-0 New York. Gardner with the ball into the right field corner. Brett can run. That's an easy two-base hit for Gardner. Dancing Price. Do we have a third? That one's off the base of the wall, and it's 4-0 New York.
He has three tickets he left today.
He's also got an RBI today. 5-0 Yankees. Higashioka into the corner. The second double of the night for Kyle Higashioka. Bounce through the hole into right field. Ford scores. Higashioka scores. 7-0 New York.
What an ass kicking.
And they sound like cannon shots.
Murray, you play golf. Yeah. You play golf. Okay, you ever been on a golf course? For those of you who play golf, you ever hit the ball square and hit a tree smack dab in the middle?
Yeah. That's what that sounds like.
And you can, in fact, if someone does it two holes over, you can hear it and you're like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Right? That noise, that's what it is.
And that's one thing for Aaron Judge to make that kind of sound, because the guy's like Paul Bunyan. But for Higashioka and Mike Ford, that third inning, you look up, you're like, what? Who's doing this damage? What the hell? Who are these guys?
Murray's.
That's what makes it extra embarrassing.
Is it over?
Yes, it's been over for weeks, but this is the final nail in the coffin. It's over.
Jimmy Stewart, do you think it's over?
I thought it was over about a month or so ago.
Okay, look, it's hard to not feel that way. I mean, I admit it too. If you're asking me today, do I think it's over? Yes, I do. I do. I think it's over. Would it shock me if they turned around and played better? Borderline, yes. And the only reason I say borderline is because they do have good players. But there are so many things to get into with this team, starting with Chris Sale. How are you feeling about that five-year contract right now? 5 years, 145, 29 per. How are you feeling about it? It hasn't even started yet. Hasn't even started. John's in a car. John, what do you got?
You know, looking at this year's team and how they've, as we all know, colossally underperformed, I was curious what was harder to watch from all of you guys' perspective, whether it's a fan or as an analyst or whatever. Is this year's team harder to watch, or the events transpiring, was this harder to watch than the collapse of the 2011 team in September when Tito lost control, couldn't inspire them, Alex Cora is not inspiring this 2019 team? That's my question. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, so John, honestly, in my opinion, and again, look, I'm one for dramatizing and dumping on a team at its worst moment more than anybody. 2011 was worse. 2011 was worse. And not just because of the chicken beer and whatever issue Francona was having or any of that.
Those last few weeks of 2011 in September, Maz, was like, it became appointment viewing because it was like when you gawk at a car accident. Like, that thing was such a disaster at the end. You had to see what was happening because you expected the worst. This is just like, from the team and almost to the fans, after this weekend, there's an air of finality to it, just like waving the white flag, like, oh, the hell with this, because they've flat out quit.
I think in 2011, they lost their last seven. Did they lose seven in a row to end the season and miss the playoffs?
Right.
All they had to do was win one game, and they lost. It was a historic collapse. That was worse, but this is pretty bad. And again, last night was Price. How are you feeling about him for three more years after this one? David Price for three more years. Chris Sale starts a five-year deal next season. We're just talking about Price. That sequence last night, 1-0 game, 2 outs. He gave up 6 straight hits and a walk, and Alex Cora finally went out to get him. And you know, Murray, if I said to you 6 straight hits, do you know how many pitches it took?
Oh, was it like 11?
12.
Yeah.
12 pitches. He gave up 6 freaking rockets. They were rockets. They were absolute freaking lasers. The last one was a ground ball through the hole, so not as hard hit. 5 of the 6 balls, exit velocity of 95 miles an hour or more. Means they were going out a hell of a lot harder than they went in. 12 pitches, 6 freaking rockets. You don't get 6 rockets on 12 pitches in batting practice, let alone at a Red Sox-Yankee game with a $31 million pitcher on the mound. But that's Price. You know he's a bum. Chris Sale? Oh, boy, did we start to see some of his colors over the weekend. And you should be alarmed about Chris Sale. In fact, that might be the most alarming takeaway, really, from the weekend. The most disturbing, alarming development of the weekend is that you've got this guy for 5 more freaking years. 5 more years. We'll examine his performance when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Goes the other way to right field, driving back Mookie Betts. Watch it sail. It's gone. 3-run homer. And this inning just blows up. LeMahieu with his second home run today. His 17th of the season, a career high.
That's from Saturday, Chris Sale's game, first game of a doubleheader. This is the one that was really hurtful for the Red Sox over the weekend. It was this game, the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday. This is the one that really was a stake through the heart. Okay, this was the one. Don't have any illusion about it. The Red Sox got swept by Tampa Bay. They went into New York on Friday night. They lose the first game 4-2. And that first inning Friday night, boy, was that frustrating. You get 2 in the first on a J.D. Martinez homer. Then the bottom of the inning, Eduardo Rodriguez gives up a grand slam. Now you're down 4-2. And it ended that way. That's the way it went. Rodriguez, after that, hung in there, grinded it out, gave his team a chance, even though he blew the lead in the bottom of the first. You still get 8 innings to go. And I'm not telling you Eddie Rodriguez didn't deserve any blame, because he does. You can't give up a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the first. Even so, he looked like Warren Spahn compared to the rest of the guys the Red Sox sent out there over the weekend. So the next day you go out on Saturday, your ace is on the mound. He has sucked against the Yankees all year long. It is 2-1. 2-1. When he starts getting unraveled by the umpire like he's a freaking rookie making his 4th career start. Okay, that's what happened to Chris Sale on Sunday. And he completely unraveled. And look, you want me to tell you that the pitch to Urshela that could have been strike 3? Of course it could have been strike 3. Was it an absolute 100% clear strike? No. Should it have been a strike in this day and age? Probably. But a veteran pitcher like that completely implodes on the mound, lets a 1-1 game or a 2-1 game turn into a blowout the way that Chris Sale did? And then you're going to bitch about the umpire after the game? So look, there's a lot of ground to cover with the Red Sox. Let me just play this sound from Chris Sale. We'll take your calls, and then I'll tell you where we're at with the show for the rest of the year. Because I think they're cooked. And I shouldn't be telling you that, but I think they're cooked. And I think you think they're cooked. So what are we going to talk about, the strategy in a game against the Kansas City Royals? Hard to do. Here's what Sale said after the game on Saturday.
You know, it's hard enough playing this game, you know, as it is. You have these guys, you know, extra outs, and it's going to hurt. I felt like it kind of changed the landscape of the game, but there's got to be something that can be done about this. You know, we're held as accountable as players, as coaches. You know, I take pride in holding myself accountable, and I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think I threw the ball, you know, terrible, but I definitely didn't throw the ball great today. Like I said, it's a little tough when, you know, at this level, you give those guys in those situations extra strikes and extra outs. You know, I got to do a little bit better job of locking it in and getting my job done, not worrying about what's going on, you know, back there with him. But, you know, nonetheless, it's tough.
So the only thing I agree with is what Sale said at the end. I got to do a better job of locking it in, getting my job done. I got to do a better job of that, he said. Fine. Okay, fine. So I want to get this right, that the game is 1-1 going into the bottom of the fourth. Gleyber Torres is up with a man on first, and Sale gets pissed. I want to make sure I get this right. Sale gets pissed because he thinks he's got it wasn't Gleyber Torres, it was Gio Urshela. One out with a man on first, Gio Urshela up. Sale thinks he's got him struck out. He doesn't get the call. Urshela ends up singling to right. Now it's first and second. Okay, first and second in a 1-1 game. The next batter is Cameron Maben, who Sale gets out. So now you've got two outs, first and second. And he's facing Bravik Valera, whom I've never even heard of, gives up a single. Then Gardner, a single, left-handed batter, left on left, Chris Sale, dominates left-handed batters, gave up a hit to Gardner to make it 4-1, and then LeMahieu hit a three-run homer, and it's a 7-1 game. And you're going to come out after the game and blame the umpire because you allowed a hit to Gio Urshela that put first and second with two outs? That allows you, that justifies you giving up six runs in the rest of the inning? Six runs. I mean,
Him to do that is just kind of a microcosm of the attitude of this team for much of the season. They're just unprofessional and they're babies.
Losers lament.
Yeah.
And Chris Sale now has a loser's lament. Chris Sale's bitching about the umpires. Boy, that team has quit. They've quit. They're pointing the fingers at the umpires instead of themselves. They didn't show up on day one. They haven't wanted to defend that title really all year long. They got their championship. Some of them, like Sale, got their contracts and packed it in. So the question is now, if you're the Red Sox, how do you fix it? What do you do? And this relates to the program. I told you we get to the baseball reporters part of this. How do you fix it now? For the next 2 months, we got to talk about how do you fix this. Chris Sale starts a 5-year extension next year, fully guaranteed for $145 million, 29 per. How do you fix it? Ralph's in Cranston. Ralph, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I think Cora embarrassed himself, made a jackass of himself and embarrassed his team by a 9-2 loss. One pitch made the difference, like he came out and said. Now, Tony, this is going to be a terrible fix attempt because next year, Sale and Price are going to be 30-35% of your payroll. So I don't think you can fix it right now. I think you should try. Look, I would have put Martinez on the block. You got to get rid of some salary, keep some of the guys that are going to be with you, and look for the next championship because I don't think you can fix this. The bullpen is a shambles, but your starters are horrible, and that's for a team that's leading the league and run.
Ralph, I'll tell you, just keep it simple. It is fixable. It is fixable. Of course it's fixable. They'll have a ton of free money. And they're going to make some roster changes. This team isn't going to be the same team that it's been in other years. It's fixable. Fixable enough. They don't suck. They got plenty of talent. And most of the issue this year is not because they lack talent. most of the issue this year is because they came in with a very sort of cavalier attitude and thought they were just going to win by throwing their gloves on the field. They got their asses kicked early. They started to think they played their way out of it. And because of that, they lapsed right back into what they were. And the fact is they've been chasing all year long. Then, maybe the worst part of the whole thing, the most revealing part of the whole thing in terms of their mindset for the season, last week at the trading deadline, Dave Dombrowski and Alex Cora, the baseball management, came out and basically pointed right at the clubhouse and said to those guys, you're not worth it. You didn't play well enough this year to be worth it. You are not worth any additional investment. We've put enough money into you. And you know how the players responded? By validating the criticism. A competitive team, an angry team, would have gone out and said, oh, we're not good enough, huh? Fine, you know what? We'll show you. And then J.D. Martinez would have said, I'll opt out. I'll hit free agency. I'll make a ton. And Chris Sale would have said, all right, fine. Rick Porcello would have said, you know what? I'm going to pitch better down the stretch. I'm going to make a ton of money, and then I'm going to leave. You won't sign me? Fine. No, no, this team, they turtled. They turtled. And I'll tell you the worst part about Chris Sale's performance, because Sale gets a free pass because we all like the accountability in Sale. We all like the makeup. We like what Chris Sale represents. The truth? He's been the most underachieving, disappointing player on the roster this year. And on Saturday, he quit. He quit on the mound at Yankee Stadium. I like Sale too, but he flat out flipping quit. And if you think that's me saying that, oh, wait till you hear what they said about him in New York during the game. We'll play that for you when we come back.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the 2-2 is lined up the middle. There's a base hit center field. Ashella scores. Higashioka is coming home, and he scores. The ball goes by Leon, but he recaptures it to hold the runners. It's a base hit, and the Yankees take a 4-1 lead.
And the frustration of Chris Sale, you can see it. I mean, he just kicked the dirt when that ball went through up the middle. And of course, the Red Sox now throwing the ball around a little bit, too. And Sale standing on the grass, not even on the mound. You know, usually you just say, okay, that was a huge hit by Gardner. If he gets out of it, if he gets Gardner, that's one run, and they're still close. I mean, what a difference if he gets Gardner there. It's one run, and the game's 2-1.
Absolutely. Be a 2-1 to DJ. Swung on and driven to right. Betts going back, looking up, and she is gone! His second home run of the game. A line drive into the lower seats and right. Wow! David John makes long gong again. He hits a three-run home run, and the Yankees have blown it open. They take a 7-1 lead.
Well, you know, you can see that coming. He was just slinging the ball.
That's what it sounded like on WFAN. Again, Susan Waldman doing the color analysis. Murray's chuckling at what?
Hey, just John Sterling is such an ass. I love him. I mean it affectionately because I know that some of these calls make people crazy. I just think they're so corny that they're great. You didn't even put on Friday night. The best one was, like a good Glaber, Torres is there. Like, oh, you were just a clown. But they're just, I don't know, for whatever reason, I should normally hate these kind of things and these kind of calls, but they're so stupid, they're funny.
Yeah, they've taken on like a, you know, sort of a, what's the right word? Like a parody of himself.
Yeah.
Right? It is. It's comical. So the striking part of it to me there, that's Chris Sale just melting down in that fourth inning over the weekend. You heard Susan Waldman say it. If he keeps it there, it's still 2-1. You're right there. You got a game. Instead, what did Sale do? He was so pissed off about the umpire. Again, like he was a young pitcher. John Lester used to do that. Remember that? Early in his career, Jimmy Stewart, do you remember that? Lester would bitch when he didn't get a call, and he'd get rattled, and they'd have to calm him down. It used to happen all the time. And it's not unusual with a young pitcher who's on the intense side. A veteran guy? One coming off a World Series? A Cy Young Award winner? That's the guy still losing the nine on the mound, losing his composure? Can't get out of the inning? That's happening to Chris Sale, and that's not even the worst part of it. He didn't cover home. He didn't back up home twice. I went back and looked today. We had a caller bring this up. And again, I'm bad about it. I don't pay attention always to that stuff because I'm either agitated that the game's getting away from him and I'm yelling at Sale, and I lose sight of the fact that he didn't back up the plate twice. He didn't back up the plate. And you heard Susan Waldman say there, he's just slinging the ball in there. He quit. Chris Sale quit on the mound on Saturday. Whether you want to admit it or not, if Eddie Rodriguez doesn't cover first like he did last year during a playoff game, we kill him for it. Chris Sale doesn't back up the plate, nobody says anything. And it wasn't mentioned again. You know, it was unraveling so badly. We got a little glimpse there into Sale. And remember the whole Chris Sale experiment? How does that look right now? Good thing they saved him for August and September, because there is no August and September. They're 7 out in the wild card. In the wild card. Oh, it feels like it's over. I mean, I believe it's over. Of course, we all know the math. You never know.
Oh, it's over.
But how do you look at this team and feel like they're going to play their way out of it? Because I don't. They've had all year to show us what they are. Why would you think they're playing themselves out of it? I mean, it's maddening that this team could show up after the greatest season in Red Sox history and play like they had nothing to prove and that they didn't care. Because that's what it feels like, that they feel like they owe you nothing. That's what it feels like. Aaron's in Woburn on Alex Cora and David Price last night. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, if these Price and Sale, high price, they're going to keep going out there and being bums, you know, Cora needs to hang them out to dry. Like, when Price has a tough thing like that, just leave him out there in the cold, no pitching coach. He's not coming to save him. Just, if you're not going to earn your money, there's got to be something. And you just got to sit there and you got to fight through it. You give up 6 hits on 12 pitches, make it 9 hits on 18 pitches. It doesn't really matter.
Hey, Aaron, don't you think, though, that Cora did a little of that last time? Were you at all surprised that as that inning was unraveling, that Price was still on the mound?
You know, I think it probably was a little bit, but I don't know. I think he's got to just keep him in no matter what, you know. But I do agree. I think it was at least a little bit of that, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, so look, and again, Aaron, I'm not, you know, I don't disagree with your premise. Because, again, at this stage, if you're Cora, you have to do what Aaron Boone did to Tanaka in Boston. Remember that game? Tanaka was getting ripped all over the ballpark. Larry Rothschild went out to the mound in the middle of the inning and said, listen, I'm just letting you know. You're taking a beating tonight. We don't have a choice. Our bullpen's been getting slaughtered, and you are going to take a beating tonight. Now, my guess is that Cora wanted to do that because, again, I tweeted this last night, Murray knows, that while Price was getting ripped all over the ballpark, it did happen. Now that I think of it, it happened in only 12 pitches. 6 hits on 12 pitches. Like, they almost didn't have enough time to get Darwin's and Hernandez up and loose. So I thought, as the thing was unraveling, that Cora was sitting there, and I thought, they're going to leave him out there. That's what it felt like. Going back today and looking at it, 12 pitches doesn't feel like a long time. Then they got to the 7th batter, and you know what happened? Price had him 1-2 and then came back and walked him. Walked him. And that's when Cora came out of the dugout. So ultimately, he did pull him from the game. And my guess is that Cora knows that David Price is brittle mentally, soft mentally. And he said, you know what? If I leave this guy out there, I might lose him forever. And if I lose him forever, he's going to infect other guys in the clubhouse, just like he did to John Farrell. And then we're really going to have a problem. So he went out and pulled him off the mound. They brought in Hernandez. The game was over. It'll be interesting to see tonight, though. when you look at it, Sale got hammered on Friday or Saturday. Price got hammered last night. Who pitched the game in between? Brian Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Brian Johnson pitched in that game, which is effectively a bullpen game. So how many games in a row can you dip into your bullpen in the fourth inning? If Rick Porcello gets slapped around by the Kansas City Royals tonight early in the game, doesn't Cora have to leave him in the game? Doesn't he have to just leave him out there and say, sorry, you're the human pinata tonight. Yeah. You're going to take a beating.
That's what I was hoping for.
Patrick's in a car. Patrick, what do you got?
Hey, Tom. I was thinking that, you know, perhaps the reason for this Red Sox failure is that I don't think anybody on this, any of the players on this team have ever won in the past, in other words, before last year, and they don't know how to defend a championship, and that includes Cora. They're not competitive, and they're not repeat winners. So I'll just hang up and see what you think about that.
So, Patrick, I'll tell you what, you raise an interesting point, and this takes me back to something Alex Cora said on Friday night before the series even began. Jimmy, the cut that we got before the show today where Cora talked about the experience and that he's learning something, he too. So this is the first time all year that I think we saw some humility in Alex Cora. Remember, when Cora interviewed for the job, there was a comment from John Henry where Henry said something, boy, he was really confident, almost too confident. Then the Red Sox went out, they went 108 games, and they steamrolled through everybody on the way to the World Series, and they finished with 119 wins. Then Cora shows up at the baseball writers' dinner in Boston after winning 119 games and the World Series and making it look easy in what was the greatest season in Red Sox history. Okay, the most impressive season in Red Sox history. He shows up at the writers' dinner and says, if you think we were good last year, wait till this year. And then they go out and get their asses kicked. Pretty much routinely all year long. So again, this is all part of Cora's thing that, no, we're good. We know how good we are. Friday night, he said this.
I'm learning. There's a learning experience, you know. My only managing experience was 108 wins or whatever it was, and, you know, the magic carpet all the way to the World Series. We're about to find out. Like I told somebody yesterday, I say, if you start, and we've been talking about it since last year, you know, your short-term goals is to win series. If you win every series this month, somebody can do the math for me. I think it's 20 wins, you know, if we do that. And we don't have to sweep people, you know. So that's, we can do that, but we have to play better. So it starts here, you know. This is where it starts.
Okay, now when he says it starts here, I think he meant New York. I think he meant August is here. If we win every series, we're going to be in good shape. They get swept. They lost four in a row. The Red Sox now have 48 games left, I think. If they go 40-8, they'll win 99, they'll get in. If they win 30 of their final 48, which would be a way better clip than they've played all year, they'll finish with 89 wins. I don't think they make the playoffs. I don't think winning series anymore qualifies. Naturally, the manager has to take some heat for that, although I don't know if I'd go as far as John in Wakefield. John, what do you got?
Maz, you're a baseball guy. You can't fire the whole team, right?
Correct.
So what do you do? What do you do?
Usually you fire the manager.
And that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. He's been lackadaisical. He's been in a dream all year. He's got no clue.
John, did you say the same thing about him last year?
No, not at all.
Okay, so if he had one great year and one bad year, why would you fire him?
Because obviously right now he doesn't really care. And if he doesn't care, why should the team care?
I disagree. I don't think Alex Cora doesn't care. I think that's wrong. I think Alex Cora does care. I think he made a mistake. I think he'd never managed before. The year before he was with the Red Sox, he was with a Houston team that rampaged to the World Series. And the 2 years he's won titles, it's been easy for him. Then he experienced the 2019 Red Sox. I'm not ready to pull the plug on Alex Cora. Maybe you are. Jimmy Stewart, would you fire Alex Cora right now?
I would not.
Jim Murray, would you fire him?
No, it's too premature.
Okay, now you want to tell me the pitching coach is in the firing line? I wouldn't rule that out. I as much as I wouldn't like to see it happen for purely personal reasons, I knew Dana Lavangie when he was a bullpen catcher. Okay, I like Dana. Like him a lot, and I think he's competent and he's capable. But what has happened with his pitching staff this year has really been a disaster. So my guess is John Henry might want to do something there. That's my guess.
And I'm sure he's a good guy, and I might have mentioned this last week, too, but the Mets, who are arguably, or I actually think are, the hottest team in baseball, they fired their pitching coach when they were sideways for most of the season, and they ended up bringing in this 82-year-old man who's maybe just telling those guys, get up there and just fling it. Let's not, you know, be too analytical about it, just an old-school approach, and they've completely changed their season.
So look,
and now they're like 3-4 games out of the wild card in the National League.
All I'm telling you, and I think I'm generally consistent with this, I try not to say someone should be fired because these are people's lives you're dealing with. All right? Now, look, at the same time, I have a person. He's one of the few people there I still have some personal connection to. And when I say connection to, I don't talk to Dana. I don't text him. I don't email him. We don't have any real communication. None. But I know him, and I knew him when I covered him. And so I don't want to see him lose his job over this. But it's a rational, logical thought. Go for the pitching coach. Go for the manager. I don't think they're going to do the manager. And I don't think that Dave Dombrowski is going to get fired, though it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't get a contract extension at the end of this year and he was a lame duck going into next. Just quickly, time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electrical. Rafael Devers, shocker, one of the two good players on the team this year. Last 13 games, 3-10, 9 extra base hits, 9 ribbies, 12 runs.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.